Good evening. We have breaking news here at the top of the hour on Channel 1 Marcastle News. Let's go live to the coverage with Mr. Joshua Caleb.
Spoiler, that's not actually a ninja hoodie.
Yeah, but you still look like a ninja, so it's cool.
Hard-hitting stuff. We will see you tomorrow night. Good luck, and keep on gaming.
Welcome to episode 69 of One More Podcast, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I once knew someone who referred to themselves as a chocoholic until I asked them, what is chocohol? And they got really annoyed with me and we haven't spoken since. And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and my parents were originally bears.
I am Joshua Caleb. I am the author of Retro Hate on One More Castle, and I moonlight as a werewolf.
Get it?
I'm Zach Smith, the author of the Completest Column, and also part of the Storming the Castle Writers Guild, and I'm enjoying 75-degree weather in the wintertime.
Boo. Must be nice. Boo.
But then it's not winter. It's not winter then.
I got sent home early from my Chicago suburb office because it was snowing so much.
I had to take the day.
Wow.
It was awful.
What snow? I don't know snow.
Yeah. Snow is...
See, it's not snowing here. It is just beastly cold.
Beastly cold?
As in colder than it's been for the past 18 years.
That's cold.
Wow.
It's very cold.
That's cold.
Yeah. It's extremely cold.
So, Hunter, if your parents were originally bears, what are they now?
Pandas.
People.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What kind of bears? Gotcha. What kind of bears have you got up there? And where are you from, Hunter? You're up by Bailey, right? Indiana? Or Chicago?
Ohio.
Oh, you're in Ohio. Okay.
Yeah.
We have little.
We don't have bears in Ohio.
We don't have bears. We have bears in Florida. We got little black bears.
I mean, we have bears at the Cincinnati Zoo, but you probably usually walk around wearing small hats and riding on unicycles.
Okay.
Yeah, but you probably also have penguins at the zoo.
No, we have penguins at the aquarium.
Yes.
Touché.
But not at the zoo?
Not at the zoo.
That's kind of lame.
Is it?
They should put them in with the bears.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know if I'd ever want to put a bear and a penguin together.
I don't know, then they could dance around together. The bear could be on the unicycle, and the penguin could be doing a little tap dance on his nose.
I just think the bear would be a little insulted because he is not wearing a suit.
But if it was a panda
you
bear...
You could say that.
If you put the penguin in
I'm
with a panda bear...
I'm from Indianapolis, and the Indianapolis Zoo is pretty cool, but on the Wikipedia page, one of the few things on it is a list of mishaps. One of them includes a truck with a shipment of 24 penguins that got into an accident
on
the highway.
No, it's not.
Like people were like over penguins. Yeah. Not making this
That's
up.
Terrible, man.
Wow.
From the Book of Knowledge, on August 9th, 2006, a truck with a shipment of 24 penguins, an octopus, and several exotic fish from the Indianapolis Zoo to Moody Gardens in Galveston, Texas, flipped over due to driver error. Several fish died immediately as their bags popped.
Release the Kraken.
Three Gentoo penguins were killed after being hit on the roadway.
Wow.
As the truck was turned back over, two rockhopper penguins were found, one dead and one alive. A king penguin had an injured wing. Two other penguins were in shock.
Wow.
How do you know if a penguin is in shock?
What about the tropical fish, man? That's what I'm worried about.
Were they all
looking for
the octopus?
Looking
for their wallets?
Yeah. Like, I would assume the fish would die first.
It doesn't even mention the octopus. It just escaped, I guess.
The octopus could slither off to the Great Lakes, maybe.
It's still at large. That's what it is. Maybe. The octopus is still at large.
There's an octopus in the woods somewhere.
So that's why all lighting those boats have been disappearing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
To any of our listeners or viewers who can count, you may have noticed a couple of things. Number one, Jason is not here. He's missed 2 weeks in a row now. We're all ashamed of him, but he'll be back next week. And number two, we have four co-hosts tonight, which is unprecedented and amazing. It's a first time for us, so four of us, kind of crazy.
It's an experiment to see how many of us can talk over each other at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to setting a new record every minute. So thank you, Joshua and Zach, for joining us.
No problem.
You guys been playing any old video games lately, by any chance?
Who wants to go first?
I think the guests should go first.
Go ahead, Josh, you go first.
Suckers.
I have been playing some Mega Man ZX on the DS, which is kind of retro, because, you know, it's the DS and not the 3DS. But I've been having a blast with that because it is very reminiscent of Mega Man X, but with a more Metroidvania slant, with the world and connected levels and hidden items.
Be worth pulling my DS out of the dust.
Yeah. Plus, you also get to play as basically a combination of Mega Man X and Zero. So you get the Mega Buster and the Z-Saber.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Well, DS games plays on a 3DS, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't technically have to break out your DS. You can just break out your 3DS.
Yes, my nice new Link Between Worlds Triforce Gold 3DS.
Ooh, is that a Christmas present?
No.
It was a present to yourself, right, Joshua?
Yes. Yes, it was a present to myself.
Okay.
Zach!
I guess that's my cue to go now. All right, well, if anyone who has been keeping up with me on Twitter will know that all I've been talking about lately is Ultima 7. Actually, me and my buddy Paul Potfin have been playing it together. Well, not like together, because it's an old game, but, you know, at the same time, and we've been sharing stories about the game. And are any of you three guys Ultima people? I'm assuming Bailey and Eric probably aren't.
Kind of.
I could be wrong.
Really?
Oh, wow. Thanks.
I could be wrong.
You know that Ultima was released on the NES, right?
Yes, yes, I am aware.
It's not that good, but it was released.
Yeah, more than one of them. It's not that good, but, you know. So you have some limited experience with an Ultima game?
Very limited experience.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Limited experience. Okay. Never, like, beat it or anything, but dabbled.
Okay.
Decided it was okay.
Okay. What about you, Josh? You played any of the Ultima games?
I have not played Ultima. I have played text-based adventure games, and I have played a graphical adventure game, one of those dungeon crawlers, something Daggerath, Dagger something, where you wander. Okay. It was like an old DOS or Commodore 64 game where you wander around the open world and you go into dungeons and you're in first-person mode looking around.
Okay.
I actually played that with an Xbox 360 controller.
Ah. I was thinking about trying that with Ultima 7, but I settled for the original DOS version. But Ultima 7 particularly is the most, I'm pretty sure it's the most immersive RPG ever released. I mean, there's no limit to what you can do, really. I mean, you can walk into a house, you can pick up a candle, you can light it, you can bake bread, you can do anything. It's just crazy. You know, this was 1992, so the game just has hundreds of hours of stuff you can do, and me and Paul are probably going to collaborate on a, we already did do one article about it, but we're probably going to do a series of articles on it now, just because there's that much to do in the game. It's really, it's incredible, nice. You know, and I want to share it with the world.
Sounds good to me.
Be pretty cool. So take it away.
I will have to try this Ultima 7 you speak of.
I'm just going to pop an Ultima for the NES and just be satisfied.
No, there's no comparison, man. There's no comparison. I love the NES, but for an Ultima game, the amount of immersion, it had to be nerfed to be put on NES, you know?
Nerfed.
Yes, nerfed.
Nerfed.
I've been playing The Legend of Zelda on the Famicom disk drive. Got a Famicom disk drive for Christmas with Legend of Zelda.
With it.
Yeah, you got to play games on it, I guess. So came with Legend of Zelda, the official original Mario Brothers 2, and Doki Doki Panic.
Mm. Wow, lost levels.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's a disc. I mean, obviously, it comes like on a little yellow. It looks like a 3.25-inch floppy disk, but it's much smaller. And it's got Nintendo like engraved on the side of it. And it's obviously all in Japanese, but the letters A and B signifying which side to put in. So you put in side A, and the title screen loads, and it's like the Famicom's got a much better sound chip than the NES does. So everything just sounds a little bit more fuller. There's a little bit more bass, a little bit more treble, that kind of thing. It's slight. Especially in music, but like for the sound effects and stuff, like just simple things like in the game, like with the door opening, or the, you know, when you have full health and you shoot your sword out, like it just sounds completely different just because they had so many more channels with the sound chip. So
cool.
Do you actually have a Famicom disc system?
You shitting me? Yeah, dude, I just said that.
You got it for Christmas.
Oh, you got it. You said you got it for Christmas? Oh, okay. Sorry. I must have missed that part. That's cool, man.
No, I'm done. Whatever, man. No. So what I was going to say was you put on side A first, and it loads the title, and then starts loading the like the backstory of the game. And then, you know, it's in Japanese, and it's just, I'm hitting start, nothing's working. So I'm waiting, I'm watching it just constantly go through the title, then the story, then the title and the story, trying to see if I catch something on what to do. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to pop the disc out, flip it over to the side B, and then slide it back in. And then the game starts. You have to do this every single time you want to play this game. So, like, if you shut it off, it's in side B, you don't switch it over, a little screen comes up and it says, oh, there's something wrong with the disc drive, you might want to look into it. You just got to flip it over to side A, load the title screen, and then flip it back over to side B to load your game. It's the most ridiculous thing ever.
No wonder they never brought this over to the U.S.
That's bizarre.
Can you imagine kids in the U.S. trying to figure that out?
Oh, it'd be awful, man. Like, I got Super Mario Brothers 2, or Lost Levels, or whatever you want to call it. And I wasn't looking. I just popped it out and slid it in. And I was hanging out with my brother when we were playing it, and he hadn't tested it yet, so nobody knew if it worked and blah, blah, blah. So we plugged it in, and the game Volleyball started to play. And he was like, what, nobody checked this? He gave us the wrong game? And I'm like, well, hold on a second. I pop it out, I flip it over, and pop it back in, and it's Mario Brothers 2. So there's like a whole nother game on the other side of the disc. It's the craziest thing. Just the craziest thing.
So instead of Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers, you got Volleyball and Super Mario Brothers 2.
And if anybody's played volleyball on the NES, like the original volleyball, it is awful. It is absolutely atrocious. It is not. It is no Super Spike V.
I've played it.
For sure.
I've played it. Oh, not at all. Oh, Super Spike. I love Super Spike V Ball. So good.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up.
Thanks, man. Always thinking of me, Hunter. You're so nice like that.
Bailey, what have you been playing?
Do GameCube games count?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What?
It's two generations old now.
I have this argument all the time.
The GameCube is two generations old.
It doesn't count in my mind,
but you're going to talk about it anyway.
Is what I've been playing, so I have to mention it. For what it's worth, I am going to play my Retro Showdown game this week, but I'll talk about that later. But on the GameCube, I've been playing a lot of Botan Kaitos, Eternal Wings, and The Lost Ocean.
What the hell is that?
I have no idea.
Is that one game or two?
Wonderful. Not exactly the most mainstream, name-dropping, popular game, but no, it's a really cool two-disc RPG.
with a really sophisticated, complex, complicated battle system that I really like. So the whole core crux of the battle system is that instead of like spells or attacks or even items, you have cards. So every character in your party has a different deck of cards you give them from your collection. So you might have 600 and you have to give that character a deck of 40. There's a mixture of some cards that attack, some that defend, some that can do both. They do them at different strengths and at different elements. And during battle, you might say, if you're at level 18, on your turn you have 10 seconds to choose 5 cards from an 8-card hand. So you're flipping through, switching them around, and you get them in the right order, you get an attack bonus. And
so it's like magic.
I really like
so
it.
Could you spell that out for me, Bailey, so I can Google it?
It's Beaten Kratos.
You just put in Baten Kratos. It's B-A-T-E-N. And then K-A-I-T-O-S.
I've seen this game.
I really like it.
I've seen this game before, but I've never played it.
Yeah.
So it's just a card game?
No, I mean, it's an RPG. You're traveling around. You're getting items. You're going through a really
traditional JRPG.
In-depth story. It's turn-based, but you have a time limit on your attack. So it's kind of like the active battle system from the Chrono Trigger era and all that, but yeah, but it's a JRPG.
It's a beautiful, beautiful game. It looks like, man, the GameCube had so many beautiful. It games. Looks.
If you can imagine, I mean, the backgrounds are pre-rendered, which I know turns some people off,
that.
But it's like playing Final Fantasy VII with twice as good resolution, and the background elements are animated.
That's nice. Cool.
So there's like a scene where you're sailing through space and there's an aurora borealis above you going on, and there's some neat visuals.
That's why it looks so nice. They cheated.
Yeah. I'm in a level right now that it's mimicking an 8-bit game. Like you enter a door in the normal 3-dimensional way, and then it's an overhead 2D, like 8-bit soundtrack, Legend of Zelda style game.
Oh, nice.
For a minute. So that's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I put 25 hours into it since Christmas. If that means anything.
That's a lot.
Cool. Very cool.
It's good times.
Looks awesome.
Oh, banana.
Speaking of people who look awesome, we have a listener email discussion question.
Yeah?
Goes like this from our longtime fan and listener, Dustin Faber. Always good to hear from him. Hello to my favorite podcast in the world. I hope you have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. While at work at my mindless job, I have plenty of time to sit around and daydream. So I thought of some categories for the Retro Showdown that you haven't done yet. Have fun using them, or don't use them. It's your show, not mine. Number one, instead of a game, bring a non-Nintendo, Sony, or Sega system to the showdown instead. I'd love to see the three of you debating CDI versus FM Townsy versus Neo Geo. Number two, games that were in special cartridges. Here's a nice feature on them. He sends a link. But the ones I can think off the top of my head are the gold Zelda cart, the red Maximum Carnage Genesis cart, and the white Atari 2600 Donkey Kong cartridge. And then it goes on to disqualify like the EA games as all their carts were different rather than just one or two. Number three, unlicensed games. Number four, games where the protagonist is a girl. Number five, 1980s arcade games. And number six, games with the best use of product placement. That's from Dustin Faber. You'll notice that it's not really a listener email discussion question, but I thought it was worth bringing up. And to make it a question, I was thinking, what games do you guys recall that use product placement? Because the best one I could think of was
Cool Spot, California
cool
Raisins.
Cool Spot's a good one.
Kids.
I like the use of Pizza Hut pizza in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game on NES. You get your health restored by eating Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. Good call there.
You're annoyed.
At one point, they even have the Pizza Hut signs, but then they fall on you to hurt you. So I don't know if that's the best branding for Pizza Hut there, but...
they probably took that out in the remake.
I remember that, yeah. did they take that out in the remake, you said?
I have no idea.
So
I said
they
probably would.
But yeah, I think Cool Spot was kind of brilliant because it was actually a good game. And, you know, the whole thing was, you know, the symbol of 7-Up. And didn't the guy that did Earthworm Jim, didn't he do that game? That's why it was so good. I think the same company. I think it was. It was Shiny Studios, wasn't it? Wasn't it the same?
That sounds right.
I believe it was.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, that would have to be my pick, definitely. For retro games, anyway. Nowadays, nice. Every freaking game has product placement in it, so, you know.
Revolving.
I have to go with
Revolving
product
good?
Placement.
Yeah, I know.
Have to go with
virtually updated online product placement.
Yeah, like, every once in a while, I'll kick on to Rainbow Six Vegas 2, which came out, what, like 2002? 2003, maybe? And they are still putting product placement in that game.
That's a year.
Like, I'll go up and, like, try to cover behind a wall, and it's a giant poster of Anchorman 2. It's like, this game's been dead for, like, 10 years, and they're still putting product placement.
No, see, it's the whatever ad program in there is just, the game is dead, but the ad program is just still pulling ads from
if
the
that's
internet.
How Ubisoft needs to make money, then... They should.
Dude, it's how Blu-ray discs work now too. You put in a Blu-ray disc, and if you have an internet connection on your PS3, boom, it hits you with updated trailers and things. So it's video games, movies, everything now. You know. So.
My game for product placement goes to Coca-Cola Kid for the Game Gear.
Coca-Cola Kid.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Coca-Cola Kid.
I seem to recall hearing about it on a prior.
Yeah,
about
it to the showdown one time.
Was it exclusive?
Oh,
yeah, it's Japanese
only.
They actually released it with a red, exclusive red Game Gear as well.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That was the week we did Japanese games. Hunter picked
what's a Japanese game. I don't know why that's funny. I followed the theme.
Everybody point at Hunter and laugh.
I'd have to go with McKids. Just because it is so horribly, insanely, frustratingly hard and awful.
Oh, it's not that hard, is it?
Yes.
What game?
McKids, or MC
Kids.
Oh, McKids.
It's hard because it's broken programming.
Yeah.
It's not hard because it's designed to be hard. It's
exactly like Super Mario 3, except you have to find items and walk upside down.
It does look like Mario 3.
And the jump mechanics are wrong.
It's just that... The controlling doesn't feel the same.
No. I played that game a ton as a kid, and I could not get past, like, the first few levels. But,
it's not
you know,
for the faint
my
of heart,
parents
just
got it because it was a kid's game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Or the young at heart.
Or the... heart.
Coca-Cola Kid!
Coca-Cola Kid!
McKids.
Battles his foe. Pepsi Girl!
There's some product placement for you.
Darn you, Pepsi Girl!
What about the Noid?
Who teams up with Yo Noid?
Placement.
Yes, Yo Noid.
Yo Noid!
Yeah,
that's good.
That's right. Was there a.
Worst
there a
looking protagonist ever.
He wasn't that bad, was he?
Was there a.
Oh, he was pretty cool. Any game where you use a yo-yo is great. Yo-Noid, Star Tropics.
He looked like some unholy conglomeration of a donkey and a rabbit.
He is. I mean, he's annoyed. He's a weird creature. What do you have against weird people, Joshua? Do you only like your people like all the same...
I want Bailey to pick another game where the protagonist uses a yo-yo as a weapon, because I think he just named them all.
My game I'm bringing to the showdown tonight has someone who uses a yo-yo as a weapon.
What?
Yes. Well, sort of.
Super Smash Brothers.
No, it's a yo-yo.
Dun!
It's a yo-yo. I even made a note that said that he used a yo-yo.
Very vital point in the showdown. Does he or does he not use a yo-yo for a weapon?
Real quick, I want to point out, if you don't want to play McKids as your Super Mario Brothers 3 ripoff of choice, I would recommend either Wacky Races or Tiny Toon Adventures, both of them superior Super Mario 3 ripoffs on NES.
You can throw Bubsy up there.
It's not on NES at all.
Shouldn't even have been released, but, you know.
Music break!
Bomber Fuzz by Fuzz. Actually, one of my favorite remix tracks ever from Bomberman on NES, a 2002 release. It's really good energy music. Love that stuff. Speaking of loving stuff, it's time for the stuff I love, and you too, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Part of the show where each of us, four people this time, wow, have secretly chosen a retro game. We have 1 minute to introduce our choice, and then we'll just spend the rest of the podcast kind of arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener or watcher, get to vote for your favorite of the games on a poll on the podcast episode page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. Now, our voting and our promotional schedule has been all screwed up lately because of a couple holidays and a database issue on the website. But a few episodes ago, episode 66, the theme was Games You Hate. And the winner was Hunter with GoldenEye. Pretty handily beating Chip's Challenge and Super Mario 64. Kind of saw that coming, but regardless,
yeah, it's the worst of the three.
Hat tip to you, Hunter. Good work.
Why don't you push an envelope for me, Bailey? That's what I want.
Here we go. I'm going to push two envelopes. You ever seen this? You ever seen a guy push two envelopes before? Here we go. Two envelopes. Drum roll, please. Boom. Double envelope push. We
good,
are really...
Good job, Bailey.
Literally pushing the envelopes. Here on One More Castle. Oh, what have we done?
I don't know.
So usually we follow a theme, but for tonight, we're following a tradition that since we have special guests, we just do a free-for-all. So I have no idea what anyone's picked. You guys don't know what I've picked. And I'm really looking forward. Actually, I'm honestly a bit excited to see what a showdown is going to be like with four hosts. That's going to be pretty amazing.
Hopefully we didn't pick the same games.
All four of us.
There is no chance you guys picked my game. There's no chance. No chance.
Yeah, ditto on that.
Yeah, you guys did not pick this game. Now, normally, Jason is our official timekeeper. Hunter, would you be comfortable being timekeeper?
I would be comfortable. Not being Jason, but being the timekeeper.
Cool. That's funny.
Who so just let me know when you're ready.
I'm as ready as I'm going to get.
All right, 1 minute on the clock. You may begin.
So I was inspired by a recent movie release. It's part of an epic franchise. I wanted to pick like a timely game. I wanted to find a game that represented an entry in that legendary series. So after going to the theater last week to see The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, tonight I bring to the Retro Showdown an entry in that story. Willow, made by Capcom for the NES. Willow is a top-down adventure game with RPG elements, with a story centered on a hobbit named Willow, who goes off in search of a magical ring from a witch named Sauron, and is helped by a ranger named Aragorn, as played by Val Kilmer in the film. It's Willow. It's a top-down adventure game. It's pretty good. I like it. It has a unique leveling-up weapon implementation system. Lord of the Rings, Willow, by Capcom. NES. 1989, good stuff.
Did you say it was a top-down game?
Top-down, yep.
Top-down. Top-down.
Looks like Zelda.
Bird's eye view.
Bird's eye view, all right. I wasn't prepared.
Ugh.
I know, just give me...
I don't have a script this week, so...
Well, you only have a minute, man, okay? If you go over a minute, I'm going to stop.
Good at improvising.
Would you like me to go?
Sure.
All right.
You may begin.
Released on August 8th, 1994, I brought Contra Hard Corps on the Sega Genesis. It has the distinction of being the only Contra game released on the Sega Genesis, and is also considered by many to be the hardest Contra game ever made. So hard, in fact, that Konami made the game easier in Japan by adding a life bar. Also, unlike Contra games of the time, Contra Hard Corps allows you to choose between four different characters who all have unique abilities and weapons. Not only that, but it also features many branching paths, story-driven cutscenes, and six different endings, which all greatly improve the replay value of the game. Couple that with some of the most inventive and insane bosses ever seen in a running gun, you have one hell of a Contra game. Contra 3? Hell no. Contra Hard Corps on the Sega Genesis. Eat it. And I'm done.
Joshua, would you like to go next? Mr. No Script? I think we lost Joshua. We lose him?
Mr. No Script.
Uh-oh. He's got that look on his face.
Yeah, I don't think he hears us.
Joshua. No, he's there. He's there.
I see him. Maybe he doesn't. I don't think he can hear us.
I guess he doesn't hear us. All right, somebody make fun of Joshua. Go.
Coming.
Oh, headphones are off. He is mad. He is angry. He's throwing things.
Perfect timing.
He's setting his room on fire. There's bears and small children running around aimlessly.
Those are really large bears and really small children.
Yeah. It's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. I wonder, okay, so is he going through his headphones? Because this is hilarious. Let's.
I know. How many does he have?
All right, I'm going to guess the next ones are going to be black. So we saw green, we saw white. Damn, I was wrong. Still not. That's not good enough.
The best part is he knows we're laughing.
He's showing no emotion.
If he has any reasoning ability whatsoever, he knows we're laughing at him.
He's really upset.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to show the game. No. I have the game here.
Oh, good. Yeah.
That game's expensive.
That game is expensive.
It is?
Yeah, like, well...
I've had it a long time. I don't know.
When I've seen it out and about, it's, like $30, which...
Wow, that is expensive.
Well,
I'm happy I have it now.
I mean, I paid $40 for Final Fantasy IV, but...
Yeah.
It's Final... Well, not Final Fantasy, but Phantasy Star. Are you back? Can you hear us?
Star,
yes.
Right. Yay!
All right. Great time to have a technical malfunction.
Your minute was up, so we're just gonna skip you. So, I'm kidding. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, you may begin.
So, in keeping with the Christmas spirit and my previous game on the Retro Showdown, I am bringing Blue Stinger, a rival action horror game for the Dreamcast. where you play as Elliot G. Ballad and Dogs Bauer, trying to solve the mystery of an island that has suddenly appeared in the Yucatan Peninsula, where the meteorite that would have killed the dinosaurs is supposedly landed. You must fight through a science laboratory, a shopping mall, and tourist district, and discover what has happened to all of the residents who have now turned into mutant zombie dinosaurs. Blue Stinger, crazy action survival horror. Not unlike Illbleed.
Yeah. Illbleed.
Josh, you and me had a conversation about this game on Twitter, I remember, about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
About how awful it was? We'll get into it later.
Yeah, we did, actually. He even admitted that it was awful, even when we talked about it. So, you know. And I actually own this game. I remember how awful it was.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and go. Last one, I swear. This is the last entry into the showdown. Just one more. Please bear with us. Bear with us.
Don't have to keep track of any
get
more
it, bear with us. One. Never mind. All right. Considered by many to be the best four-player head-to-head game available on a home console, first released in the USA in 1981, it's Warlords for the Atari 2600. Get yourself and three other friends together, four paddle controllers, and battle it out in Warlords. Last player standing wins. 26 different games to choose from. Play on teams or every man for himself. It's Warlords. Defend your fort and take no prisoners in this amazing multiplayer game. It's Warlords for the Atari 2600. Warlords.
Gotcha.
For the Atari 2600.
You said not to take any prisoners. Just want to let you know, in my game, you don't take any prisoners either.
That's great, man. Our games have something in common.
You just kill everybody?
Actually, I forget. What game did you bring? It's been so many people ago. Oh, Willow.
Lord of the Rings.
Willow.
Yeah.
Might as well have been.
Ward of the Rings.
Willow
Ward
looks,
of the Wings.
Willow looks like a Zelda ripoff is what it looks like to me. I'm looking at it. I mean, it's almost identical, man.
If you're going to rip a game off, pick the best. Don't rip
so
off
it's a ripoff
game.
Of Zelda and Lord
like
of the
Blue
Rings?
Stinger.
Yeah, look, there's slimes. They got slimes.
Yeah,
like
it's a
dragon.
They do. If you're going to,
but you fight the slimes in real time.
Right. If you're going to entitle your game any genre that even consists of being an RPG or anything like it, you have got to have slimes. That is a staple. Don't ask me why. I think it's stupid. Yep. It's one of the worst characters you could ever fight at the beginning of a game. It's almost as bad as the Goomba.
At some point in the game, you have to. Talk to a tree.
Talking to a tree,
RPG
yeah.
Staple, right? Talk to
yes,
a tree
talking
at some point.
Trees.
Yeah.
Hero has to be an angsty, spiky-haired teenage boy.
Right.
Yeah.
At some point, a female healer joins your party that has a mysterious past and may not be who she appears to be.
Yep.
I'm having just as much fun playing Baten Kaitos as I am examining like all the tropes it uses. Many of them, which started earlier on Willow.
It's about the same. Are we talking about Willow?
Truly an envelope pusher. This game, look, I'll show you
nice.
How
very
well
nice
this boy. Game pushes envelopes.
Oh, no. Wait. Geez. If he's got the game
you can
to push the envelope.
You can edit.
Game.
Nice.
Can,
very nice.
Boom.
You can edit this out, Hunter,
no,
later.
But see, the game didn't push the envelope. You pushed the envelope with the game.
The only game that pushed the envelope was always in a Zelda. It wasn't this game. This game just ripped it off. Sorry, Bailey. You should have just brought Zelda, man. You said Legendary on Twitter earlier.
No.
I thought you were going to bring Zelda.
No, see, Willow's really good, though. I'm seriously, it's not a bad game. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
It's made by Capcom. I mean, it's not like some crappy developer push it out super quick, trying to make a quick buck, ripping off. It's legit. It's one of the better movie games on the NES. Except for a lot of bad ones, don't get me wrong.
There's still a lot of bad ones.
Willow, 10,000 times better than Rambo. I'll put it that way.
Capcom has had to have made a bad game.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Final Fight, Final
I don't
Fight
like
2.
It. Personally,
recently,
well, what's wrong with Final Fight 2?
Final Fight 2 is terrible. I played it over Christmas, man. It's absolutely terrible.
What?
Terrible.
Compared to what? The first one?
No, compared to like Streets of Rage.
Oh yeah, I didn't. That's not. Is that what we're supposed to? Okay. Well, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. This is all
nothing.
Topic.
Nothing can compare to Streets of Rage.
Hey. So.
Anyway.
Hey,
anyway, get your support.
Hey. Since there's four of us, can we say a quick vote right now? Raise your hand if you agree with me that we should just go ahead and not even mention Joshua's game at all.
I want to mention one thing, and it's more or less an apology to the world at large for selling my Dreamcast to Joshua Caleb. I feel so terribly bad.
Sold your Dreamcast?
So I had.
I heard
you're
about
a
this.
Sega guy.
I have two.
Yeah, what the hell?
I have two. I take that back. I had two.
Good.
One had a mod chip in it. The other one didn't. Joshua was
I take it back. I had to sell it. I had
right.
to.
Right. Well, no. Joshua was talking about not having a Dreamcast and how he always wanted one. And I said, man, I got one. I mean, I'll ship it to you for, you know, next to nothing and hook you up and blah, blah, blah. And that happened. And I didn't hear anything for like a couple of weeks. Okay? And then out of nowhere, he's going crazy bonkers on Twitter about Illbleed and Blue Stinger.
Why do you think I wanted the Dreamcast in the first place?
Toe Jam and Earl Freed. It's like, there's reasons that these games were never popular.
Toe Jam and Earl Freed was on Xbox, not Dreamcast.
Oh, it was on
Dreamcast. Yeah, they just released the promo.
It was never released on Dreamcast, but the beta ISO of it leaked, and I downloaded it and played it.
Oh,
and it's awesome.
Yeah, so
okay. I like Toe Jam and Earl 3, but we're not talking.
I actually did a episode on In Retrospection last week where I played Toe Jam and Earl 3
there
on
you
Dreamcast.
Go. So
very interesting.
We are really spinning the retro showdown, plugging our YouTube shows, and talking about our collections.
But hey, but I will admit that Blue Stinger is not quite as good as Illbleed.
Or Willow. Or
no, no, okay,
Willow.
We need to talk about hardcore. We need to talk about hardcore.
Okay.
There's
Hunter,
no way on God's green earth is hardcore better than Contra 3. That is impossible.
Oh, dude, it's... Oh, dude, come on, man, you're the other Sega fanboy here other than me. So
no, that's what I'm saying.
Here?
It's impossible.
Oh,
it's
oh,
absolutely
no,
impossible.
No, no. It's better in every conceivable way. You have...
Oh! Whoa!
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Like, quantifiably, it's not. There's ways you can like specifically say it's not. The color palette's not as good, for one.
Well, it's because Genesis doesn't have as good of a color palette as a Super Nintendo. So what? When do graphics matter in games, Bill? You want to talk about graphics? Let's talk about Hunter's game.
When you use your eyeballs to look at the television screen, I'd say that's when it matters.
When I look at an Atari game, my eyeballs bleed. I can't even look at an Atari game anymore because it's so bad. It's like it's a couple of blocks on a screen. I mean, look at this Warlord game, man.
Warlord is so much fun.
Have you played it though? It's so fun.
It's a blast.
So okay, I
want a game like that. I'll play Joust.
I have to agree with that. Atari games are hard to look at.
They're very hard to look at. They haven't aged well. You know, at least NES
are pretty.
I would
rather play a text adventure game.
That's the same thing, man. Blocks are blocks.
I agree.
At least a text adventure game, you have something to read.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go use your imagination.
Yeah, Atari and the sound.
It's like having two Jasons on the show right now.
All I'm saying is with Contra Hardcore, the running first perspective, whatever the hell you want to call it, is nowhere near as good as the top-down perspective in Contra 3. I'm sorry. I don't want to hold five guns or four guns. Two's enough for me.
Why not? Five is awesome.
That's one of the reasons why.
So you want to do it Halo style?
That's what I was going to say. That's one of the reasons why Halo was so good. It's because it took a genre that's been beat the hell and back and completely changed it and said, no, this is how we're going to do it. Two guns. That's it.
True. And that's what Contra Hardcore did, because it took the Contra formula and it turned it around. Gave you multiple paths, gave you different endings, multiple ways to go.
Why weren't there any other Contra games made on Sega consoles?
Because this one didn't sell.
I bought it.
Sold out battery. Sorry. Bought it.
I'm sorry.
And granted, I bought it in college, so I didn't even buy it back when I was a kid.
Didn't college sells video games? That is so cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Contra R Corps is awesome. I don't care what
you say. I think it just goes too far against the grain for a Contra game for me. Like, there's so many different weapons. And, like, the new characters are cool, but they don't have any different stats. And so it's, you know,
Yeah, like the bionic armed wolf guy. That's the best part of the game.
Now, the best part is Brownie, the robot that can fly and that has a yo-yo weapon that yo-yos around all over the place, an electrical yo-yo. I think it might even be called the yo-yo.
I'm glad you had your boxing gloves on to illustrate the yo-yo motion. That really adds to the
I had to bring the gloves to the showdown. Experience for me. It's a showdown.
Yeah, that's true.
Axel Stone is here to kick your ass.
But do any of your games let you dress up your pot-bellied, weathered sea captain as Santa Claus and murder zombie dinosaurs with a chainsaw?
Oh, I remember man. That.
Kinda.
Like,
yeah.
My brain kinda. Can't even just wrap around what you just said, Joshua. Like, it just doesn't... Like, just trying to take it in pieces. In zombie dinosaurs? Really?
Yes, there's some sort of infection caused by the meteorite that created the island.
Have we completely run of antagonists that we have to result to zombie dinosaurs?
Well, sure. I mean, zombies are cool, dinosaurs are cool, so zombie dinosaurs are twice as cool.
So wait a second. The meteorite caused them, though, right? The meteorite from space?
The meteorite from space supposedly hit the Earth millions of years ago, has wiped out the dinosaurs. Then in the year 2000, where this meteorite was supposedly hit, this island pops up. Everyone calls it Dinosaur Island. They go there, they set up a research lab, eventually a shopping mall and a tourist.
Wait, so you
so it's a Jurassic district. Park ripoff.
Sounds like a Dino Crisis ripoff too.
My question is, are they alien zombie dinosaurs?
Oh, let's not get into that again.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Wow.
They came from another planet, and there's this spirit-like ghost fairy that comes from another planet to fight
spirit
off
ghost
this.
Fairy, like in a Zelda game?
You're not helping yourself by
that comes to help the character that comes to help your main character find this evil dinosaur thing that's been hiding this egg that was disguised as a meteorite for millions of years that's going to come to life and destroy the Earth.
Of course.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I remember playing Blue Stinger in college, and I remember not liking it. It was just... I bought it because I just got a Dreamcast. I'm like, this game looks cool, but it was terrible. I remember it being pretty bad.
Plus, if you beat the game, I think you can unlock a new game plus mode where it lets you play through the game where all the characters are in swimsuits.
Why? Why?
Of course.
Of course.
What does that do? What does that do?
Sexy alien dinosaur zombie.
So that's where Zeta Lab got the idea from.
From Blue Stinger.
Wow. What kind of stupid name is that?
I know. It's a really... It's bad. It's called Bad... Bad Japanese translation, probably.
It's supposed to be the stinger blue, and blue is supposed to be like
Sorry.
This, you know, demigod-like creature that there's this whole huge backstory, and then it gets mistranslated to when it gets to the U.S., and then it's like, yeah, let's just throw some swimsuits in it, and, you know, Santa Claus on a fat guy, because that's what happens.
The alien spirit fairy is blue.
The alien spirit fairy.
Yeah, I see a picture of her.
Her name is Nephilim.
Nephilim.
She mimics the appearance of a fictional goddess because she's actually just this blue ball of energy that came from space. But she had to look like something in order to appear to the humans, so she mimicked this little goddess fairy.
Apparently she's got a bear ass too from the looks of the pictures. They have to get that in there.
And she's everything.
I can suspend
belief. Get that in there.
With the best of them. But I don't even think I would be able to play your game, Joshua, without crying and laughing excessively.
But not in a good way.
No, absolutely not in a good way. Not in a good way. No mode 7, man. I'm sorry. No mode 7.
No, this has the future of blast processing. superior 3D graphics.
Not in a Contra, it's not. You don't have Mode 7. You're not doing anything. Hey. At least my game, all four of us could play together.
True.
See all the time that we're wasting. We could be playing Warlords.
But
all right.
But what do you do in Warlords?
But my eyes would bleed.
Yeah.
That's fun. Warlords.
Man, when
fun,
you said man. Warlords, I thought you meant pixelated, the PC version. I got all excited, and then it was this crappy 2600 game, man, that looks like dog crap.
Well, if it helps, they did re-release it on the DS.
Oh, Zach, you are not version for you.
That'll help.
How do you play four players on a DS?
Wireless download.
Oh, I thought you were just going to grab a DS, and everyone got a button.
No, this isn't Micro Machines. So.
Really? We're gonna go there.
It looks.
I got a mine like a fox.
I got
whatever that
Willow.
Means.
I would like to point out a cool thing about Willow. Here we are.
It's got the worst box art on any NES game. Like this, the box art on Willow beats the original box art on Mega Man. That's how awful this box art is.
I don't know, man.
It's Mega Man box art. That's original artwork. That's not bad at all. It's good stuff.
Original
Everyone's
artwork.
Lips look really super awkward.
Just his face. It's like the weirdest oval. It's like if you took a football and punched the sides in.
But it's a ripoff of Zelda.
I would like to point out something cool about Willow. In Willow, there's a unique implementation of the level-up system that I haven't really seen in many other games, because the combat is in real time. You swing your weapon and connect it with enemies to hurt them. And your swing of your weapon has several frames of animation. And what this game does that I think is pretty cool and fairly uncommon is as you level up, you're able to swing your weapon faster, which makes you more effective at the combat. But then when you get a new weapon, which in theory is made of like a heavier, more sturdier, more powerful material, you slow down again. Which makes sense, and it's an incremental thing, but you even have the dilemma of, do I stick with a weapon that's less powerful, but I can swing it three times as fast, or go to the new weapon that's slower? It adds a real tactile interface. Like there's an instant feedback sensation caused by it.
Sounds about as annoying as Twilight Princess with the Wii controller.
It's not annoying. It's gameplay.
You gotta slash. Just keep slashing.
Just slash.
That is really bad.
Is there? Can I ask something about Willow?
Yeah.
Is there really a character, a ranger named Aragorn?
Yeah. That's funny. There's an elf named Galadriel. And there's a village called Rivendell that you burn down. There's a master sword you have to pull from the stone and it sends you back in time 7 years. It's pretty cool. It's a great game. Willow. I may have the story a little confused.
Okay. So it's worse than what you've described?
I think you're talking.
No, it's probably a lot better.
No, that's...
Well, I don't know. You just described Lord of the Rings and The Legend of Zelda and King Arthur, so I'm not sure how it could be better.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did describe those pretty well, I suppose. Now, Hunter, you said that Warlords has six different games on it.
26.
I would like to... 26? Okay, yeah, that's 20. Not correct. Atari 2600 games had different settings, but it's still Warlord. You're just playing like slightly different variants of the exact same game. It's like those crappy mail order catalog games that they used to sell, those LCD screen 1,000 games, and it's 500 versions of Tetris and 500 versions of a Spy Hunter ripoff.
Yeah, but those were all the same game. So, these are completely different variants.
So Warlord has 26 different speeds.
Yeah, right? 26 different scores at which Woo-hoo! One player wins. You know,
close enough.
With Warlords, With Warlords, just play the remake. It looks like there's a nice, pretty remake that they made that looks.
Yeah, there's
better,
a
actually than the 2600 version.
Yeah, they're on the Nintendo DS. It was re-released on Retro Atari something. and it's been it was all Redux and wireless download play. So, but it's still Warlords.
Still. Yeah, but not the 2600 version.
it's the same game. It's the same idea.
No.
What? You're telling me that just because a game looks better, it's a completely different game? That's not, no, that's not true.
I gotta trash your game, man, so I gotta think of something.
That's an awful argument.
I'm stuck on Zach claiming that Contra Hardcore is the hardest Contra ever.
You can't even pronounce it right.
Contra Hardcore.
Hardcore.
It is Hardcore. There's no P in it.
Yes, there is.
You don't pronounce it. You don't say Marine Corps, you say Marine Corps.
Okay, if you say so. What was your argument? That it's not the hardest Contra game? Have you played every Contra game?
I haven't, so I'm not sure. Like, I mean, hear me out. Like, I don't know.
Trust me.
It's a pretty tough game.
I'm having trouble with it.
It's a pretty tough game.
I don't know.
I've played every one but Shattered Soldier, and I know Shattered Soldier was hard, too, but I'm pretty sure this was the hardest one, like I said. When they're making the Japanese version easier... You know, it's got to be hard, which is usually strange.
That isn't unique. I mean, yeah. Your game was so broken. That they added a life bar. I mean, of all the features you have to add to a game. Oh, crap. We should have added a life bar. That's like a staple in video games, right? Giving the protagonist an amount of life before it dies.
Yeah. It just goes so against the formula.
Wow. Let's add that now that we've already released it.
It's got some of the best bosses ever. I mean,
that I will agree with.
Dude, there's constellations that turn into the guy and come down and fight you. Star constellations. There's so many cool things. There's a crazy robot that dances on a train.
You're just describing stuff from Blue Stinger at this point.
Oh, Blue Stinger. Well, then Blue Stinger ripped this game off. This game came out 6 years before that.
I would have never guessed, but I think you're right. I think Blue Stinger ripped off Contra Hardcore.
There you go.
Well, I'd have to consider that a compliment then.
Okay.
We do have to.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, that doesn't work for my game then. Blue Stinger.
Blue Stinger. Blue Stinker. Blue Stinker.
You guys' games stink indeed.
Yes.
Blue Stinker
is a stinker. It is a stinker.
Hey, Blue Stinger also had a commercial, had a Japanese commercial for the soda drink that you drink in the game to recover your health. It's really crazy and you should watch it.
What's the name of the drink?
Hassy.
Okay, because I was going to slap you if it was called Blue Stinger. Because that would have been the worst setup for something ever.
Joshua, can I ask you a question about Blue Stinger?
Sure.
What is your role as the protagonist? Like, are you a scientist? Are you some random guy? What? Why do you get involved?
Elliot G. Ballad is on vacation because he's normally a Coast Guard guy, but he's on vacation when the second meteor hits the island and creates this big time bubble, trapping him inside. And then he meets up with Dogs Bauer, who is this grizzled boat ship captain, and they start getting attacked by these mutant zombie dinosaurs, and they have to figure out what's up with the island and why everyone disappeared.
Mutant zombie dinosaurs.
This is too much. I can't handle it. My brain can't handle it.
So he
can you get a lightsaber in that game? I see a screenshot here.
Yes, you can.
It looks like he's carrying a lightsaber. I don't remember getting a lightsaber.
I believe the lightsaber is hidden at the strip club.
This game just rips off. This game rips off so many things. It's horrible.
My question is: if you're in the Coast Guard, why are you going to an island for vacation? You should have went inland.
Yeah, why would you even deal with it?
Zombie. Dinosaur
well, mess. He didn't know it was infested with zombie dinosaurs. Yeah. He was out on a boat way in the ocean going
look at my screen. Look at the screen I'm sharing with you.
Wow.
It's just horrible. It's just the stupidest thing ever.
Is that product placement?
Look
what is
how
that?
Bad it is. It's terrible.
Wow. That's
bad, man.
Well, that's interesting.
I love this polygon.
Zoom on that poster. Wow.
That looks like David Hasselhoff on the other poster. If I'm, I don't think it is though.
Well, yeah, you go in, I think it's Lab Town. That's like completely decked out in Christmas ornaments and stuff because it's Christmas time in the game.
I remember that. The music was kind of Christmassy too, if I recall.
Christmas. Yeah. It was really weird having Christmassy music playing while you're murdering zombie dinosaurs.
Just what I want. Christmas music playing in a zombie mutant dinosaur game.
Deck the halls with buckets of blood. La 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 la.
So it's not just that they're like zombie dinosaurs. These are mutant Christmas zombie Nazi cyborg ninja robot bacon pirate dinosaurs.
Pancake.
Something like that.
That's amazing. That's
and halfway through the game,
envelope pushing dinosaur.
Oh jeez.
Halfway through the game, you actually get attacked by a big mutant pile of sludge that infects you with the same infection, and you start turning into a zombie mutant dinosaur. So then you can start like climbing walls.
How does that work?
And ceilings and crawling.
I don't.
Because you come in contact and you swallow the mutant sludge. You swallow the mutant sludge, so then you start turning
swallow
into
my
a zombie mutant dinosaur thing.
Can I just point out, I love that both Warlords and Blue Stinger were brought to the showdown because they have exactly the opposite design philosophy. Warlords is like, let's strip down this game to the bare minimum we need and make it just go for maximum competitiveness. We'll make it simple, super fast, super fun. There's some pixels on the screen. Go for it. Four player, awesome. Blue Stinger's like, okay, listen. Island, alien, meteorite,
sold.
Time travel, zombie, robot, laboratory, dinosaurs. Everyone's like, oh, let's do it. Sold. Oh! This game will be so much better than Warlords.
I'd argue that Warlords
about
was
using your imagination.
That was all they could do back then. Because it was Atari.
Have you played any other Atari 2600 game?
Yes, I've played plenty. My first game I ever played was Pole Position. I owned an Atari.
And you would
say Pole Position
is similar to Warlords?
No. I've also.
He means in the crappiness.
Just the crappiness factor. However, Pitfall is a good game. But
Pitfall
pushed the Atari.
Pitfall is a good game.
But that pushed the Atari.
Adventure, Keystone Capers,
Indiana Jones,
Dodgem,
E.T.,
Haunted Hell.
I want to play the hacked ROM of E.T. where they actually fix or break the collision detection to make the game
playable.
The game is playable. Okay, hold on.
No.
Just because you fall into a pit,
you get stuck and you're dead.
Just because you're bad
no,
at a
you
game
can float
doesn't
out of the
make
pit.
It bad.
You can float out of the pit.
Yeah.
No, the
oh,
problem
Hunter,
with the
say
game
that again. I like that.
It's...
Say again. Just because you're bad at a game doesn't mean the game is bad. Eric Hunter, I am tweeting that right now. That is so.
What are we? What are we on teams now? All right, me and Josh against you two. All right, Blue Sting
no,
is awesome.
No, it's.
No, I'm not saying Hunter's game is better than yours. I'm just saying Hunter makes.
No, here's the problem. Here's why Zach's mad. Is because Contra Hardcore has a slide move. That's why he's mad. One of the worst moves
awesome.
In a platforming game.
I know you
ever.
Hate you. I know you hate the slide.
Oh,
and you hate
so
the slide,
bad.
Man. Right. So that's why you're.
So
that's
bad.
Why you're. Yeah.
The
okay.
slide is
oh.
awesome.
I like the
why,
slide.
What's wrong with
the slide?
Slide
in Contra was awesome. It was a nice addition. Just another gameplay element. Complexity, man. More complex. More things to do. More replay value.
Nope.
Come on. The sliding in Mega Man is awesome.
Nope.
Yeah, I like the sliding in Mega Man. Either way.
That's why I can only play the Mega Man
if you,
games that
if you have
slide,
to build, if you
like
have to
Mega
build
Man
the level
X
design to cater to the move, it's a pointless game mechanic. It's as simple as that. If I have to design the level to make you do this particular move...
No, that's utilizing the game mechanic.
It's a pointless game mechanic.
Well... I don't know.
Only if they design the level to pointlessly use the game mechanic.
Yeah.
If they design the level so that you naturally use the game mechanic.
Which Mega Man never did.
And it is a good design level.
The only time you use it is the slide under walls.
You know, I'm so glad.
Maybe Mega Man 3, but I don't know.
No, I use the slide all the time to dodge bullets and slide under enemies and...
Yeah, it was
Mega
useful.
Man X.
You don't need to. You just jump. That's all you have to do
but
is
then
jump.
Then I get hit.
Well, you gotta jump better, Josh. I don't know what to tell.
I'm so glad we're having such an in-depth game design, insightful philosophical discussion with the guys who brought Blue Stinger, Warlords,
And whatever, I don't even remember what Zach brought.
Because he can't spell it right, and I can't pronounce it right.
There you go.
Oh, Contra hardboard. Contra cardboard.
Nice, man.
Contra, it's a pretty good game. It's just not as fun as Warlords.
And not as crazy whatever.
And not as good as Willow. You're talking about these.
All right, you want to see Willow?
I love replay value. I like.
Say Willow.
Whatever, Willow.
Look at my screen. That's Zelda right there. It's a freaking Zelda.
No, that's a super ugly version of Zelda.
Zelda with experience points and magic points and hit points on the screen.
All right, it's Zelda 2.
Yes. Link's Adventure.
Yeah, no. Well, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's a mashup of Zelda 1 and Zelda 2. It looks like, just looks just like
Zelda.
Oh,
it's so brilliant. I'm quoting you on that.
Oh, great. Here we go.
That looks like Bilbo.
I'm helping his cause.
It is Bilbo. It's Willow. It's a mashup of Zelda 1.
It's not a compliment.
It's called Rip Off. It's a rip off.
It's not a rip off.
Look at it, man.
Willow itself is a fantasy medieval. The movie came out, and Zelda, a game with Blue Stinger, conversation has destroyed my brain.
It's just too many.
Leave. Anything else? I can take it. Bring it. Bring it.
Whoa.
Wait, the guy's name is Willow Ufgood? Ufgod?
Ufgod? Yeah, and Ufgood? He does magic tricks.
Yeah, and?
Sorry, I'm laughing at something much, my man. Sister just tweeted, actually. That's really funny. I got distracted. I'm
pay attention, here. Bailey.
So, Zach, you said you can take anything, right?
Yeah.
I would say Contra Hardcore is not even the fourth best Contra game.
Oh, wow.
Let me ask you something, Bailey. Have you ever beaten it? One of the six different ways you can beat it?
No.
No, you haven't. You haven't.
Better things to do.
Oh, you have better things.
Like play it.
Play the easy Contra 3 that anyone
can beat. Oh, yeah, that game's so easy.
Oh, whoa!
Easy. Dude, that game is easy, man. To beat that game on hard, easy.
Even if it's a little easier, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with a game not being balls-bustingly hard.
The problem with Contra 3 was it was boring because it was too easy, you know? Hard Corps kept me busy for years, man, trying to beat it all different ways, all different paths. There's even a storyline.
Years.
Well, the third one had a storyline.
For years.
If you want story, you should be playing Willow.
Me? Yeah.
No,
clearly
you should play
not
Blue Stinger.
Stinger. No.
Blue Stinger has an amazing story and hilarious.
You can't follow the story.
If you play Blue Stinger, if you're not playing for the story.
Yes, you are, because it's hilarious.
I'm going to try playing Willow with the quick shot this week.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Here we go.
You should play Karate Champ with the quick shot.
oh, wow.
Karate Champ.
The thought of that makes me want to shoot myself in the head with the quick shot.
Well, I'm going to play Contra Hard Corps on my modded Sega Genesis when it gets here in a couple days. That's
what
I'm going
to
do.
Mod your Sega
Genesis? I'm going to invite you three over to play Warlords.
Yes!
So we can play together.
That actually sounds like fun.
As long as it's the updated pretty version.
No, man. It's going to be the Atari 26 version, and you're going to love it. You are going to love it.
Hunter, I will say this about Warlords. It's only fun for like the first 30 hours straight.
Only.
30 hours. I'll say 30 seconds.
Exactly.
After those 30 hours, it gets kind of old. It's just kind of...
Gotta take a break for like, you know, a few minutes and then play again for another 30 hours.
Yeah, I was thinking like 30 seconds. Okay, that's about right for that game. I'd be bored. Bored. Bink bonk, bink bonk.
Blade.
Bink bonk.
I'm a blade.
Zach, you're so mean to the old games. Final arguments! Hunter!
These are all old games.
Why should anyone vote for Warlords on Atari 2600?
Four-player gaming on the Atari 2600. Need I say more?
Zach!
I say more.
What? Yes. Zach, why should anyone vote for the inferior version of
Because screw you two, Bailey. Because it was It was the most innovative and interesting Contra game that has ever been made. That's why.
Wow. Okay. And Joshua, why should anyone play the game that is trying so hard to be the most Japanese game of all time?
Well, it's not quite the most Japanese game of all time.
I said it's trying, but it fails miserably.
But you should play Blue Stinger because it is a awesomely hilarious, sappy game that is trying to be survival horror, even though it's not. And you get to play as Santa Claus wielding a chain gun, and you get to find a lightsaber at a strip club and fight mutant zombie dinosaurs.
Wow, okay.
From space.
You know, as for Willow, you should vote for Willow because it is also a Contra game. You also fight dinosaurs, and you can play with three other people if you want to. So really, it's like all the games tonight combined into one glorious manifestation of the Lord of the Rings Legend of Zelda franchise. It's Willow on NES. And that's our showdown. I want to do a quick shout out to those who have commented on the live stream. We got Johnny DeAlba, Tom Hall, Chronislinger, Paul Potvin, Valerie Minnick, Lyrically C, Paul Sharp, and RizzardCore, among possibly a couple others. Thank you all for watching and commenting. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at One More Castle. I'm at Nintendo_Legend. Just a reminder, the live stream is every week, 7:30 p.m. Central. Give or take a few minutes, we tweet the URL on the Twitter feed. That's why I bother mentioning it. Do you guys have any shout-outs tonight?
Oh, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is IamEricM.com. And my shout-out goes to Zach and Joshua. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. It's been a hoot and a half. And again, I apologize for giving Josh the choice.
I'll take it.
Super sorry.
What have you done? Zach, how about you? What do you got?
You can follow me on Twitter at ZFunk007. And I don't have a blog or website. My website is One More Castle. And
yeah, it is.
And I'd like to give a shout-out to David Garcia, I might have mispronounced his name, Slayer Quest. He is my buddy from Argentina, who I don't think he was able to watch this tonight, but I'm going to give him a shout out anyway. So, there you have it.
Way to go. Sounds good to me. How about you, Joshua?
You can follow me on Twitter at JoshuaCaleb75. I also write the retro, or will soon be returning to the Retro Hate column on One More Castle.
It's a good one.
And I would like to give a shout out to Dan Janoff at VGHC_Dan, who has been playing The Last of Us, which I need to start watching because I don't know if I'm going to be playing The Last of Us, so I want to watch him play The Last of Us and probably fail miserably at it like I would.
I beat it. Great game.
I'm good.
I can vouch. I can vouch for it.
I also want to thank Zach and Joshua for filling in for Jason on pretty darn short notice. I think that was an under 24-hour turnaround for you guys, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zach, for going into costume and promoting it all afternoon. Thank you, Joshua, for so quickly improvising through your technical difficulties. That was impressive as well. A reminder to listeners, you can email the podcast. It's podcast@onemorecastle.com. Please send us discussion questions because we do answer them on air. But most importantly, listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.